The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Ed Slott's my guest today, the country's IRA expert, also the founder of IRAhelp.com. Of course, we've been getting ready to get ready when it comes to tax reform, and Ed's group has been on fire, throwing out all kinds of fantastic stuff for us to do and share with the listeners here. So I can't wait for Ed to join us here in just a few minutes. Got a funny story to tell you real quick. So this is, I guess, related to Your Money. So the other night, I'm helping someone take an exercise bike to their house that they took from our house. My wife bought one of those Pelotons, which is kind of a cool biking experience with online, courses and all kinds of stuff. I just know she's been miserable this week with her legs basically feeling like they're going to fall off her body. But anyway, so it was on Sunday night, and I'm headed to help this person take the bike into their house. Told my wife, hey, why don't you order some pizza from Mother Bear's? I'll go by and pick it up. It's great. So anyway, I get on the phone with her, and she says, I just ordered it, just got off the phone, and it won't be ready for 35 minutes. So that's okay. I headed over to the west side of town, and I pull into the little area, and I'm about 15 minutes early, and I'm driving through, you know, where Lowe's is and all that, just before Lowe's, and there's a place called Dollar Tree right there on the left-hand side. Now, I've never been in a Dollar Tree, but it was intriguing enough. I've been to Dollar General, where things are generally a dollar, but I've never been into Dollar Tree. So I stopped, and I thought, I'm going to go into Dollar Tree and kill 10 or 15 minutes. I had no intention of buying anything. I didn't need anything, but I went into Dollar Tree anyway. So I'm going through Dollar Tree, and I'm starting to look at things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just a dollar? I'm going to buy. So I pick it up. And then I go along, and I'm like, I can't believe that's just a dollar. So I pick it up. I'm moving along. I'm like, I mean, next thing you know, I have an armload of stuff, and I'm going up to the counter, and I drop it all off on the little conveyor belt, and here it comes. Ding, $1, $2, $3, $4. When the Captain Crunch came along at $1, I told the lady, I said, I cannot believe that that's $1. And she looks at me like, you know, I'm the stupidest person on the face of the earth, and she says, everything's a dollar. And I go, oh, yeah, that's right. Everything is a dollar. So, ding, ding. I bought beef stew. I bought beef stew, frozen vegetables, cereal, Velveeta, stewed tomatoes. Gosh, I don't even know. It was so. I have two bags of stuff, and I leave the store, and I go out to the car and put it in. I go get the pizza, come home, take the pizza upstairs. We eat, and I say, oh, yeah, I forgot. I have stuff in the car. I go down and get it, two bags of stuff. She goes, what's that? I go, is stuff from Dollar Tree. She said, you went to Dollar Tree? And I go, yeah, I had some time to kill. I went to Dollar Tree. So I start taking this stuff out, putting it on the counter. And my wife says, you bought beef stew? Yeah, I bought beef stew. Oh, my gosh. But it was only a dollar. That was my point. It was only a dollar. So why would you not buy beef stew if it's only a dollar? And Captain Crunch and Apple Jacks and Velveeta cheese. And what else did I buy? I mean, oh, the bill was like $12 and a few cents because everything was food and there was no tax on the food, except I did get a 3-pack of Bubblicious for a dollar, which I thought was also a fantastic deal. So I'm now addicted to Dollar Tree. I can't wait to go back to Dollar Tree, and I'm going to go in there maybe even tonight to check things out, because you never know, with the storm coming in, we might need some things from Dollar Tree to get us by. So it's going to be a fun night at the Hayes House. So beef stew for everyone. All right, I'm not going to do News of the Week because we're going to have Ed Slott on here in just a few minutes. But so when we come back, we will be joined by the country's IRA expert, Ed Slott. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. The famous one and only Mr. Ed Slott is now on the phone. Ed, have you ever been to Dollar Tree?
No, but I just heard I have to go, so I didn't realize how much you could get. Talk about saving for retirement. Every dollar you save at Dollar Tree is money you can put away for retirement.
There you go. Ed, you've been busy lately. You've been recording some new public television specials. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, and new tax law information. I mean, everybody. I think 18 is going to be like 1987 for people who go back that far, the year of the accountant. I'll give you some history. Back in 86, we had the last major tax reform over 30 years ago, and they said they simplified everything, and nobody would need accountants anymore. In 1987, still to this day, was our best year ever as an accounting firm explaining the simplifications. And by the way, in that 86 law was all those IRA rules that came out.
Right, right, exactly.
Right, so talk about complicating things. Now, this law, go 30 years later, is also meant to simplify things, but as most people already know, it's much more complicated than it ever was because there's so many little things put in there for special interests and this group and that group. It's interesting that now the tax law is a different way of taxing people, which is based on how you make your money. For example, if you inherit it, if you do absolutely nothing, you pay no tax. But if you work and you're like an employee, a lot of your deductions go away. You pay the highest tax, the ordinary income rate. You don't get any of the other benefits. So it's kind of an interesting scenario. And even if you're self-employed, it depends what you do. If you work in your business, you pay more tax than somebody who doesn't work in their business, say a manufacturer where other people work. So it's a crazy system. But there's ways you can take advantage of it, and most of it is effective now. Probably the biggest issue for people in retirement are the changes to the Roth IRA. Now, as your listeners know, I'm a big Roth fan. Why? Because if you go Roth, if you use a Roth IRA, you're guaranteed tax-free income in retirement. Now, the laws made rates and brackets lower for most people. So now is the opportune time to talk to your advisor about maybe converting to a Roth if you were on the fence before. A core principle of good tax planning, it's something I cover in my new PBS show, which will be hitting your area in March. It's called Retire Safe and Secure with Ed Slott, so look for it on public television. But one of the core principles is to always pay taxes at the lowest rates. Now, I know what people are thinking if they're listening now. They say, well, that's brilliant. That's like always buy low and sell high. Well, that's a good one, too. You should write that one down.
And never cook bacon in the nude. That's another one of your...
I didn't get there. That's not in this tax law.
All right, got it.
So, but I believe tax rates are about as low as they're ever going to go. I mean, can you see, after everything that went into this sausage factory of a tax law, could you see rates ever going lower? I mean, it seems not even imaginable, which means they're more likely to go higher once the bill for this tax bill comes due. So I think this is a great buying opportunity for tax-free retirement savings, a Roth IRA. But you have to be careful. There was another little notice provision. I mean, Dave, you know it because being in our elite advisor group, and that's something I like your listeners always to know, that you have invest heavily in your specialized education, your knowledge, so you can do a better job for clients. Remember, most advisors, they can help you make money, but in retirement, when you take it out, it's what you keep that counts. And that's where most advisors can help you because they don't have the specialized knowledge like you do. So you already know this. With the Roth conversions, they're permanent now. There's no do-overs. The new law, for some reason, nobody really knows why, repealed the ability to do what was known as a Roth recharacterization. In other words, you converted, but for some reason you changed your mind, didn't want to pay the tax. For whatever reason, you were able to undo it. That is no longer the case. So you're really going to need expert help. As much as I said, do a Roth conversion, don't do this alone. this is where you're going to need the expertise of a great financial advisor and your tax advisor to see, number one, if it's right for you, if you have the money to pay the tax, how much you should convert, what your income tax bracket will be in 18. This is all new, so you'd better be careful. My advice right now, knowing it's an irrevocable decision, would be if you're thinking about a Roth conversion, and I still think it's a great move, just got to be very careful, to do it later in the year, maybe after Thanksgiving, when more of your numbers for the year are known, your financial condition is better known, but not too late in the year, like the last week of December, where the banks will be mobbed. So right around Thanksgiving, I would look at it, and you don't have to convert everything. You can do partial conversions, and that may be the way of the future, to do a series of smaller partial conversions over the years to lessen the tax impact and keep you at lower rates over many years, with the big picture plan to really, over many years, have money in Roth IRAs. And why do I keep saying that? Because once your retirement money is in a Roth IRA, it is tax-free for life. I call it tax insurance. Why? Because you're insuring against the uncertainty of what happens if future rates go up, which they're likely to do. I just can't see them getting any lower for anybody. What is your experience? Have you been getting calls about the Roth conversion or the lack of the do-overs yet?
Well, not about lack of the do-overs, but certainly everyone that walks through my door wants to know how this impacts me. You know, they hear about the doubling of the standard deduction, the getting rid of the personal exemptions, maybe not being able to deduct this or that or the other. So they're asking, what does it mean for me? But I've been doing exactly what you're saying, Ed. Hey, let's wait until November, December, when we know what the capital gain distributions are going to be on your mutual funds, when we know what your income really shook out to be. Because like this year, you know, had you did one early in the year and it was irreversible and we had these massive capital gain and dividend distributions from mutual funds, you would have been possibly caught off guard. So I've been really on this show and in any opportunity I have just kind of talking about the coming storm, talking about how and why taxes will have to go up. And I stole this from you early on. I borrowed it from David McKnight from the book The Power of Zero. But it's we always say to people, and you taught me this, that, you know, if you don't think taxes are going to be higher in the future, you're either not paying attention or you're really bad at math. Because at some point, we have to pay for these promises that we've made. And according to the numbers that I've seen, you know, it could be sooner than later. I thought this tax reform would give us 10 years of planning under budget reconciliation, but it shortened it. Now we only have until basically January 1 of 2026, so we don't have that many years to get done what we need to get done so that we are off of the radar whenever taxes do go up. So that's kind of been my discussion with people.
Yeah. Taxes will have to go up. That's why I think Roth conversions are so valuable, much more valuable now.
We're going to take a quick break, Ed. When we come back, I'm going to talk more in more detail about some of the opportunities that are out there. You mentioned retirees, and I want to come back to that because I think the doubling of the standard deduction, especially with these folks that have no dependents and no personal exemptions, and taking advantage of the qualified charitable distribution.
Yes.
Also, the stretch IRA, it slipped through. It's still there. We want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And also some of the opportunities within tax bracket planning. I saw the 24% tax bracket. Heck, as married filing jointly, you can go all up to 315. That's pretty cheap money. So we'll go through all that and more when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes, the one and only Ed Slott, founder of IRAhelp.com. That's IRAhelp.com. Go there, check it out. Bunch of resources. And as Ed mentioned before, he has an army of trained advisors all around this country that you can click and find one in your area. Of course, I'm the one here local. We have Marty James just up the road in Plainfield, who's been on the show before, and a few others in Indianapolis and Kokomo, but they're scattered all around the country. You called them the Green Berets of financial advisors. And I've been, gosh, I don't know when you started the group, Ed, but that's when I got to know you very well.
No, you're one of the first ones.
Yeah,
but I have to tell you, I have a special feeling for my advisors like you and Marty and the other ones you mentioned in Indiana, because whenever I'm on the phone with you, I think of shrimp.
St. Elmo's.
I think of St. Elmo's.
And that makes you happy.
I was just telling my daughter before I went on the phone, I said, you know, I'm calling in on this show. Now I want to have a St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail. I got to have one.
She's like, Dad, we'll fly you to Indianapolis. We'll get you some shrimp cocktail. Yeah. Ed, you were talking before we went to break about how this could be a really big deal for retirees. With the doubling of the standard deduction, obviously elimination of some personal exemptions and things like that, but I really see this as a big opportunity for retirees, especially those that are over 70 and a half and have to take required minimum distributions and are charitably inclined to use the qualified charitable distribution rules. What's interesting about this, Ed, I talk about this all the time. I mention it to every single client, and I still will have people walk up to me who I think, you should know this by now, coming from me. Did you know that I could give money from my IRA to a charity, it not count in my income, and it satisfies my minimum distributions? And I say, yes, I know that. It's a big deal.
It's a bigger deal now, as you pointed out. And you also mentioned our elite advisor group for the people joining in. Most advisors don't have this level of knowledge. I know because I train more of them than anyone in the country. And I'm talking about the specialized knowledge of the tax planning for retirement, getting your money out, having that exit strategy. Most advisors, 99% of advisors are not trained on this. That's why I created Ed Slott's Elite IRA Advisor Group many years ago. Dave, I think it was close to 15 years or maybe 13, 14, something like that. And there's really only 400 advisors in the country that are at Dave's level that have that specialized knowledge. And that knowledge is more important to you than ever before. Dave, you know that book, I kind of know the name of it. It's something like, it's one of those business success books, like What Got You Here Won't Get You There or something. Mm-hmm. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember. I can't come up with either, but yeah, I do.
It's something like that, right? Whatever got you here is not going to get you to
there.
The next
yeah,
place.
Right.
It's the same thing with retirement. You may have had an advisor that got you here, helped you make money and build a retirement account, but that may not be the advisor that's going to get you through the second half of the game, pulling that money out and managing the taxes. See, here's the thing with retirement. You manage your investments on the way in, but you manage the taxes on the way out. And that's where I saw a huge weakness, a void of expertise and specialization, and that's why I created that group. So if you go to my website, IRAhelp.com, you'll find those very few highly specialized advisors like a David Hayes in Indiana all over the country, and there's very few of them. I think this is your life savings. At this point, you may need to move to a specialist. What got you to the point you are now may not be the same advice that can get you the rest of the way. So a perfect example, David brought up the qualified charitable distributions, QCDs. Now, the new law, the new tax law, did not make any changes to them. So why am I talking about it? Because it made them better. Because most people now will be filing a standard deduction, will not be itemizing, because some of the biggest itemized deductions are out. All your work-related expenses are out. Tax return, this is the ironic one, tax prep fees are out. But you need the tax advisor,
fees
are out. All work-related fees are out. Your union dues are out. Job-related expenses are out. Investment publications are out.
They're saying like 16% of returns now will file an itemized return across the board. I feel like they were so...
Maybe less.
They were so surgical in this because under budget reconciliation for everything they gave, they had to take something back. So they would go to these little pockets, I noticed, like casualty and theft losses or investment advisory fees or employee business. I mean, they go to these little pockets. It didn't affect masses of people, but just enough people where it really mattered. Pretty interesting,
right?
I think.
And your state and local tax deductions
right.
are out. Up to $10,000 is okay, but after that, and most people, I don't really know around the country, but I'm in New York.
You
can't even get a bathroom for $10,000. You know, so things are limited. So it's more people are going to use that double standard deduction. For a married couple is $24,000. For a single person is $12,000. So let's take an example. Let's say you give to charity. Even if you give $5,000, say you're a married couple. You have a $24,000 standard deduction now. Even if you gave $5,000 to a charity, it wouldn't be enough. Probably you'd do better with the standard deduction. With this QCD, instead of giving to the charity, give from your IRA. Now, it only applies, not everybody can do it, so don't jump at it. it only applies to IRA owners who are 70 and a half or older. Actually, also to IRA beneficiaries, but you must be 70 and a half or older. Now, if you are, you're probably subject to required minimum distributions, which means you have to take money out. So let's say your required amount was $5,000, the same amount you usually give to a charity. You could give it right from the IRA, and you don't have to include it in income. And you still get the double standard deduction. So now you get a $24,000 standard deduction, but you can report $5,000 less income. So in effect, you got the standard deduction and the charitable deduction. This is a great benefit for the people who qualify. I have to say now, anybody with an IRA over 70 and a half, if you give anything to charity, this is the only way to give.
Ed, I was going to mention this.
You'll get the biggest bang for your buck.
Absolutely. I was going to mention this at the next meeting as a tidbit for many of the advisors, but we are sending out QCD letters, like tax notices. So at the end of the year, we send out and say, let your tax person know that you did this. Because the other problem that we run across is they do it, but then they don't know to tell their tax advisor because none of the custodians report it as a QCD. So you have to know you did it to let your tax person know to actually get the benefit. Otherwise, it's wasted. It's kind of like having a trust.
But it's another benefit. By lowering your income, by being able to exclude that amount, it lowers the threshold amount that triggers taxes on other things.
Right.
If you lower your income, maybe less of your Social Security will be taxed, lower Medicare premiums, higher medical deductions. That's one thing they didn't touch. They put it back in at the last minute.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that was retroactive, right? I think that's the only thing that will go back for 2017.
And at the old rates, the 7.5% limitation. So you still have that, but still, you're right, most people will probably claim a standard deduction, and that alone would simplify things. But there are lots of other complicated rules. For example, this may not apply to everybody, but higher income people tend to try and give money to their children, and it triggers something called the kiddie tax.
Right.
Well, they change those rules. If it applies to you, I would make a call to Dave and go over that, because now those kids will be taxed their trust rates, which could be higher than the parents' own rates. So that's just a little quirk. That would be another reason maybe to do a Roth conversion if a grandchild, a young child, may be inheriting a Roth IRA. This way it keeps their unearned income low so they don't get hit with this new version of a kiddie tax.
Now, most people listening to this show should know what a Roth is, but folks, the Roth IRA, the best way to describe it, and Ed again taught me this, it's where you pay tax on the seed money that goes in, but not the harvest that comes out. The other IRA, the traditional IRA, you do not pay tax on the seed, you pay it when it comes out. And the reason that we're pushing this so hard is you know what that seed cost is today. It's 20, you know, it could be 10%, 12%, 24%, whatever. But you don't know what that cost will be on the backside. Ed, you've mentioned this too, and I've stole this from you as well, that it's like going to the bank and asking for a mortgage. And they say, sure. And you say, well, what's the interest rate? And they say, well, we'll tell you in 30 years. And that's like,
right, we'll tell you when we need the money.
Yeah, we'll tell you when we need it back. Hey, we're going to take another quick break. We've got Ed for one more segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about some real opportunities in these widening tax brackets. We're also going to get into a little bit of, let's see, I've got a couple other things. Oh, the stretch IRA. We want to talk about that as well. And then we'll let Ed get back to what he's doing out there in that high tax state of New York. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Now, that's the perfect music to play to make you feel like you're on a beach somewhere in the Caribbean with Jimmy Buffett, in spite of being in winter storm that's coming through here on Thursday night. So that's a big difference. Ed, we have a bunch of storms coming through. I think they're going kind of south-southeast, so I don't know they're going to make it up your way, but you probably will get the...
We had plenty. That's
had
all right.
Plenty.
You
yeah.
keep it this time.
I bet. Hey, I mentioned at the break real quick that you're hitting this qualified charitable distribution thing heavy. We're hitting it heavy. Was teaching a retirement readiness class through our local Ivy Tech Community College, and a couple came up to me during the break and said, I'm so mad that my financial advisor did not tell me about this qualified charitable distribution thing. Is it brand new? And I go, no, it's actually been around for a while, but it was made permanent a couple of years ago, which made it even better. But no, it's been around for quite some time. So I can tell you that people don't know about this stuff, even though in our world it seems like everyone should know about it. Hey, real quick, let's talk about some of the big changes in the tax bracket. So where I see the biggest opportunity, I mean, if you, the real benefit, in my opinion, of this tax reform is in the lowering of the tax brackets and the creation of that 24% tax bracket that, as a married filing joint return, extends all the way up to $315,000. To me, that represents...
I would go even lower because, I mean, even the 22% bracket goes up to $165,000. That's... You know, most people are under that.
Well, and 12%, I mean, up to almost 80 grand if you're married jointly. So, I mean, there's just this big opportunity to pay off a tax at a pretty darn low rate to never pay it again.
Now, I don't want to throw any, you know, monkey wrench in here, but it's a pretty, what they created, it's a pretty good incentive for divorce.
Well, yeah, you look at the single brackets. Okay, yeah, I get it.
It's up to five. Two singles don't hit the top rate to $1 million, where a married couple hits it at $600,000.
Yeah, normally the single bracket.
There's a huge marriage penalty in there.
Wow. Actually, I'm just now looking at that. You are absolutely spot on, huh? Don't give my
Isn't
wife any ideas. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah,
I never noticed that. It's breaking up.
Yeah. No, trust me. She hears enough of me at home. She doesn't want to listen to the show for sure. The other thing.
But isn't it amazing when you look?
Yeah.
I have the brackets in front of me too, and I see the 500 for singles and 600,000 for marrieds. So, not that I'm encouraging anything, but just something to know.
Something to know. One thing too, Ed. You've been
if the food isn't warm or something, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, whatever.
Snoring, whatever.
Well, yeah, that one. My wife would have me on both of those things, I think. Hey, the Roth IRA we've talked a lot about. It turned 20 this year. I mean, it seems like I've been in the business 24 years. I remember when it came on the scene and has had an interesting history behind it and a progression over the years. And utilization, obviously, has really picked up in the last handful of years. It started picking up back when they gave us that opportunity to do some conversions and pay it over a few years. That's when it seemed to gain the momentum. But, yeah, it turned 20 this year, and you've been putting a lot of material out from the Ed Slot Group about this.
Right. And my one big observation over the 20 years, still not enough people are taking advantage of the program. It is mind-boggling to me, and it's always the same thing. I don't want to write the check. Well, you're thinking short-term if you're thinking that way. That check is going to be written at some point. It's not if, but when, and probably at much higher rates when you'll need the money more in retirement, when you're the most vulnerable, when you don't have new income coming in. Now is the time to bite some of that bullet and get some of that Roth money in. I just don't understand. There's a big benefit to having tax-free income in retirement. But another benefit that's not talked about that much, with Roth IRAs, there are no required minimum distributions. So even if you think you can put off paying the tax, if you don't convert, you'll be forced to pay it against your will, without your control, once you hit 70 and a half years old. The Roth IRA not only makes your account tax-free, but gives you total control of your money. There are no forced distributions. You could keep that money growing tax-free for the rest of your life and for your kid's life and for your grandkid's life if you make the investment now. So that's my one big observation. Not enough people are taking advantage of it. And sometimes when I do programs, not sometimes, every time,
yeah,
when I speak to consumers and I ask them, there's always somebody that says, well, I don't know if I can trust the government to keep its word that it will always be tax-free. And that's a good point. Sometimes they ask straight out, can I trust the government? They don't usually even get finished with the question when the rest of the people laugh. So here's my answer to that. I might have even thought about that in the past, but after this tax bill, I am convinced the Roth is here to stay. Why? Because, not because they care about you, Congress, I mean. It's because it's a money maker. It's the golden goose. It's the magic legislative provision our legislators have been looking for over 200 years. Something that brings in money to the government, and people like it. We never had anything like that. So in this last round, you may have noticed, Dave, in the negotiations leading up to the final bill, there was something that came out that people started calling, it was a proposal. It didn't make it in because there was a big hoopla and uproar over it, something called Rothification,
mm-hmm.
where they wanted to take away the deductions for the 401ks and push everybody into a Roth. Now, that probably wouldn't have been so bad for people because they'd be in a better place. But why did they want to do that? Because they wanted the revenue. They look at the Roth as a moneymaker. That's why I know it's here to stay.
You know, folks are maybe listening thinking, I don't have an IRA. All I have is a 401k. Folks, almost every 401k has a Roth arm to it. So you can contribute your money to the Roth side. You can do in-plan conversions, but know that you need the money on the outside to make those tax payments. And be careful because you may convert a bunch and then not have the money and kind of get stuck. So there are those provisions. Ed, real one observation as you made that comment about them needing the money. That's the government kind of being short-sighted as well,
Yeah, the government. If I was the accountant for the government, I would say kill that Roth IRA deal. Sure, you get a little money up front, but then if everybody did it, you'd have tax-free millionaires. Nobody would ever be paying taxes in the long run.
I've noticed
and
that.
And they would say, yeah, we don't care about that. We just want
the money
up front. We'll.
It's so short-sighted. Yeah. You know, I was actually really interested when I was seeing the issuance of government debt and why they were issuing, you know, 2-year debt and 3-year debt. And I'm like, you know, if I was a business person, if I could lock in 50-year money at 4% or 3%, I would do it. But what happens is the government knows that they can borrow cheaper short-term, and because they're so short-sighted on the, that they'll borrow short-term to sacrifice long-term. So that's kind of the same thing. Ed, one of the things that you had predicted a few years ago, because it was in every presidential budget that Obama had, at least in the last 3 or 4 that he put out, was the elimination of the inherited IRA. In fact, even in my book, Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, I even put in there that you may call me a prophet here in a few years, but I anticipate this stretch IRA idea being gone. But it survived, and if it survived now,
I don't know. I don't know how it happened.
They
didn't touch it. It was, as you said, in every budget and every tax proposal. Maybe because new people took over and they didn't see that one on the shelf or something. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know how it got missed.
But basically,
and now it's more powerful than ever. Remember, Roth IRAs are not only income tax free. Back to my Roth, because I love tax free. If you want to have more money, you have to have it tax free. That's the only way to have more and pay less. But now Roth IRAs are not only income tax free, but virtually every Roth IRA is now estate tax free too, unless you have an estate more than $20 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And that doesn't cover the common person for sure. Ed, I really appreciate you being part of the program. We're not going to wear out wear you out today, and certainly want to have you back as often as we can. It's always fun and enthusiastic and motivational to have you part of the program. But I do want to say I'm going to actually see you in a couple of weeks. You don't know this, but and you may not even know that you're doing this, but you're actually speaking at an event down at the Villages in Florida in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to come down for that. I'll be down there at Greg Parody's event. I got talked into it this week.
Oh, yeah. We filmed our new PBS special, Retire Safe and Secure with Ed Slott, down there in the Villages. That's where we filmed it, in front of a live audience there.
I think Mary Beth will be there as well. So Mary Beth Franklin and Ed Slott.
Woo!
Yeah, so we may have to hook up the night before and go out to dinner. We won't find shrimp cocktail like we have in Indiana.
Yeah, I know. You'll have to bring it from it's pathetic. Yeah, that's right. There's nothing like St. Elmo's.
Ed, we appreciate you. Have a great rest of the week, and I'm sure I'll see you, in a couple of weeks?
Yep.
Thanks,
great
Ed.
To see you. Great to be on the show for 2018, kicking it off.
There we go. Happy New Year. Thanks, guys. We're going to take
too,
a break.
You too, Dave. Thanks.
Thanks. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, I didn't realize that there was a incentive to get divorced under the new tax law. Ed brought that to my attention. I've been staring at these tax brackets forever. And, you know, most of the returns that I see are married filing joint, so that's what I kind of tend to focus on. But, yeah, there's some pretty solid reasons there if you were doing it for financial reasons. But like Ed said, maybe we shouldn't have said that. During the break, Ed was funny. He said, He said, yeah, you know, here in New York, I have an accounting practice, and everyone's complaining about all the new tax law changes, and I know the tax laws suck, but this is an opportunity for us to make a lot of money. And I laugh because here's the thing. When people say, man, this is confusing, man, this is chaotic, and it shouldn't be like this, and I'm always like, you're right, it shouldn't be, but you know what? That gives me a job. And you know what? If it gives me a job, I guess God bless America. So we all can make a living in a lot of different ways. So we do appreciate Ed very much and his friendship and loyalty to me and my loyalty to him. And the fact we get him on the show is a big deal. I mean, you guys may not know this, and I know you probably don't, but if Ed is asked to speak somewhere, big time people like Ed, they charge a lot of money to go speak places. And you're going to be floored by this, but you might think, well, what does a person charge to go speak for, you know, an hour or 2 hours is it his elite level? What do you think? I mean, you might think, well, they probably are going to charge $5,000. You can't get, you know, a monkey to come talk to you for $5,000. I mean, when those guys like Ed go to do a couple hours talk somewhere or education, it's $30,000 all day long. And if you do 2 days, it's $100,000. I mean, it's big time stuff. So to have someone like Ed on my team, and he really tells me to tell people, hey, that I have Ed slot on my team on retainer, whatever you want to say. I don't say that typically. It's true. I mean, if I have a question that I don't know the answer to, he has an entire technical team that I can go to and get the answer quickly. And they're not, you know, I email him or give him a call on the phone, and I've known him for 10 or 15 years. So it's just fantastic to have those kind of relationships that you can lean on and trust and not have to double check or question, because when it comes out of their office, it's solid. I mean, it is solid, solid, solid. So we do appreciate that, because otherwise we wouldn't have the, and even Mary Beth Franklin. I mean, we've known Mary Beth since her days at Kiplinger Magazine, and then she went off freelance, and then she really was able to make hay. Now she's chief or whatever she is, contributing editor for investment news and a nationally known speaker. Well, back in the old days, you could get Mary Beth to come speak to your event for $2,000 plus expenses. Now Mary Beth is probably $15,000, you know, plus. But these people, my point is, these are high caliber people that command monster speaking fees, that take the time to call into this radio show that services a fairly small area of the country. So, you know, anytime you get a chance to support the public television that Ed does, this will be his fourth, I believe, do it. And you'll see it. It will be coming out in March. It's really going to be good. I've actually seen a couple of previews of it. It will air. I don't know exactly when, but when we find out, if I can find out, I will absolutely let you know. So support the public television that he's on. He's raised, the last time I found, I looked, he raised somewhere around $60 million for public television. $60 million bucks. That's a lot of money. So anyway, that's why I'm so grateful to have people like Ed, Mary Beth, and others as friends. So I'm looking forward to seeing them down in Florida. I mean, I'm looking forward to going to Florida, right, after what we're going through right now. In the Villages. Have you guys ever heard about the Villages? This place is like a compound of magnitude. It's about 60 miles, I believe, kind of north-ish of Orlando. And, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you do not have to leave the Villages. There's everything there. People have golf carts. They run around, and it's crazy. And there's a bunch of IU alum down there, too, at the Villages. So it's a popular place for Midwesterners to go and retire and hang out. So I won't be there very long, but there long enough to have dinner with Ed and Mary Beth, and then obviously a day and a half of training, really going down to view an office that does a lot of business, that does it in the right way, and we're just always looking for iron to sharpen iron, so I'm really going down just to learn some best practices stuff. All right, folks, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, So to get into the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group, it's based on a completion of education modules. You pay for training and membership fees. Qualifications, you know, should not be construed as an endorsement of a financial advisor. There's no guarantee as to the future investment success, nor is there any guarantees that the financial advisor will continue to meet this qualification in the future. And that's something that I wanted everyone to understand about this group, that you have to I have to take an exam. I just saw tomorrow. I mean, if I don't take it tomorrow, they'll probably kick me out. No, they won't kick me out. They'll give me a bye. I've been at it too long with them to not to give me a little bit of something. All right, next week, you know, we hear all kinds of predictions all the time, and even from By the Numbers this week, Mick Higley wrote, at the end of 2016, 10 Wall Street equity strategists forecasted the closing value of the S&P 500 as of 12/31/17. Their predictions range from a low of 2,300 to a high of 2,575, and they say that was up from the starting point of 2,239. So, of course, the actual closing number for the S&P was 2,674. That exceeded all 10 predictions. Well, here's the thing, folks. When these guys and gals come out with these predictions, they're always wrong, and they are never negative. Do you ever hear them come out and say, this year I think the market will be down 12%? No, it's always 6 to 8 every year, 5 to 10, something like that. That's it. So next week, we're going to be talking about muting the sound of intellectual noise. And I'm going to go through and just give you some history on these predictions from these people. Some you're going to know, some you won't, and how they've consistently been wrong. That's why I've stayed out of the prediction business. I can be in the forecasting business. I can kind of tell you what I think's going to happen. But like today, two different times, people say, where do you think the market's going to head from here? And I'm going to say to you, listen, I have no idea. But I can argue both sides, how it could go up, how it could go down, and even the third side, how it could kind of stay the same. So the key is, again, going back, I had someone today that right at the end, right before I came to the show, we were going to create a bucket strategy, and he's been real conservative his entire life. So I had to really kind of encourage him and convince him that, yeah, it's okay to go ahead and put money in the market now, even at these historic highs, because you have to press, I believe, that in my later bucket that I don't need for 13 to 15 years, that the market will be higher then than it is today. Do you believe that to be true? He said, well, I don't know. Well, all I did was I pulled out the history of the stock market from 1950 through the end of 2017. I said, let's look at 12-year, 13-year increments. I said, now do you believe? And he said, yeah, I believe. I mean, there's certainly been down times. We've had bad decades. But when you stretch out that time horizon, just turn your head and cough. Let that later money go. The soon money is the money that you may need sooner than later. That's the money that should be invested in a more conservative manner. So we did it. He ended up only being about 25, 26% equities overall from zero practically. Showed him modern portfolio theory, minimum risk portfolios, all that stuff, you know, to try and convince people that, yeah, it's okay to have your toe in the water in the equity space, even at these historic highs. So that is what we're going to do next week. We're going to mute the sounds of intellectual noise, and hopefully we do a really good job with it. Hope you enjoyed the show, folks. We've got a good one next week. I'm not sure if I'm going to have anyone join me or not. If I do, it may just be, you know, Hot Rod or Big E or maybe Doug Hughes on the hook with me, but I've got this thing lined out, ready to go, ready to rock and roll. So, hey, listen, I want everyone to take cover if this ice really comes in, but who really knows? I've been around, so I mean, it may be nothing, but it might be something. So just be careful. Hopefully everyone is safe on Friday. And if you're listening to this show on Saturday morning, hopefully it's all been behind us and everything's cool. So again, hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll be back here in studio next Thursday night. This has been Your Money with David Hayes. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.